The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and taking in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The story is told about a 96-year-old man who won $50 million in the lottery. When his family was notified, they called the pastor for help, since they were afraid that the news might cause the old man to have a heart attack. The pastor agreed to help. He went over to visit the elderly man. They talked about the weather and life in general for some time. And finally, the pastor asked the old man, "Suppose you were to win $50 million in the lottery. Do you think that would change your life?" "It wouldn't," said the old man. "I would still have arthritis. I'd still be 96 years old. In fact, if I won $50 million in the lottery, I would probably give it all to the parish." With that, the pastor had a heart attack and died. We tend not to like surprises. We will spend much time getting ready for Thanksgiving. We'll spend lots of time getting ready for Christmas. And this season of Advent is the church's way of getting ready, of being prepared. Jesus calls us to be prepared. Then Paul emphasizes it. St. Matthew restates it. And even the Boy Scouts picked it up as their mantra, "Be prepared." The season of Advent begins today with its own warning for Christians to be prepared. But for what are we getting ready? What are we getting prepared for? Are we preparing our hearts and spirits to receive the coming of Christ child into our world afresh? Or are we preparing for the final month of frenzied shopping, holiday headaches and heartburn, economic pain, a 10-pound weight gain, endless renditions of the same 10 songs on the radio, desperate shopping mall traffic, and a general atmosphere of anxiety and rage that accompanies it all? Hopefully not. Over the next 4 weeks of Advent, we prepare for the coming of our Savior, and we do so in two scenes. The first 2 weeks of Advent focus on the coming of the Lord at the end of time. The last 2 weeks of Advent prepare us for his birth in Bethlehem. This preparation will entail the hearing of many frequent stories. The challenge is to listen, not to let it go over our head or take it for granted. The good news is that locally Jesus has told us how to prepare. His instructions are found in the very first words he speaks after his baptism by John the Baptist at the River Jordan. Matthew speaks them, but St. Mark's Gospel points them out in more vivid description. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." If our question is when, the answer is now. You see, Matthew's predictions this evening were written to a complacent, lethargic community. Christians were beginning to lose their expectation of a second coming, had lost the vision of God's rich and peaceful kingdom they were asked to build. And after all, the church in Jerusalem was now waiting about 80 years and nothing had happened. And so their faith and their commitment and their connection with God was cooling off. The believers in Jerusalem had become lukewarm. The risk is we too could become lukewarm. They were middle-class agnostics living in the most affluent part of their country, cushioned so with so much comfort, programmed by so much self-importance. There's a risk we too could place ourselves at a distance from our God. When we first hear this apocalyptic, I'd have to stop and say that a few times, apocalyptic language, when we hear that reading about the end of time and all that, it's a little bit scary. The temptation is to think, well, that's nothing to do with us. Matthew, who we will listen to his gospel throughout this church year, describes the gift of the season of Advent in a single word, Emmanuel, God with us. Not God has been with us at some stage, or that God will be with us at some undetermined date in the future, but God is with us now. The message of Advent is that each moment has eternal significance. God invites us to live in the present with expectation and awareness of the fact that eternal realities can break into our world in just moments. Christmas and Advent ask us to get ready for this, to be prepared, to be alert. It would be beautiful to think that God is that close to us. As indeed any human being. Dr. Andlers, who was a doctor in the medical center in Worcester in Massachusetts, tells the story of two twin girls who were born 12 weeks premature. They weighed in at just 2 pounds weight. They were placed in separate cots. One started to do just fine, but the other began to slowly fade. Her heartbeat became rapid. She was visibly anxious. The nurses could do nothing to comfort her, and all they could see was inevitable death. Then one nurse remembered something she had read in a journal in caring for premature infants. As a last resort, the nurse took little Brielle, the weaker twin, and put her right into the same cot with her big sister, 2 ounces heavier. In the words of the nurses present, the results were immediate and dramatic. Little Brielle snuggled up to her big sister. Her heart rate returned to normal. Her color came back. The baby visibly relaxed. She accepted nourishment. The crisis was over. She was going to live. If just the touch of a human being can do that for us, what more can our Savior, who wants to come and touch our lives too? The life of our God is given expression in many and simple ways. It's given expression in the love of a mother for her baby. It's given expression in the laughter of a teenager, in the affection of a husband for wife. It's in the sacrificial living of a missionary doctor. It's in the courage, the hope, and the vision of those who remain in the mission field when the crisis is over. It's in the simple lesson given by our Sunday school teacher, or in the complex lecture of a seminary professor. Grace, the enabling power of God, is striking around us now, in the forgiveness of one sorely wronged, in the helping hands of those who have themselves needed help, in the gift given without thought of repayment, in the favor done without being asked, and in the random act of kindness given anonymously as a gift. But if we're not aware, we could miss it. So stay awake and be alert. Today's gospel tells us that God often breaks into our lives unexpectedly. So don't be shocked if it happens. We don't know the time or the day or the next encounter we will have that is holy. Neither can we predict whether the meeting will be a joyful experience of forgiveness and peace, or a call to repentance or to responsibility, or some combination of both. But we can realize that it will come, and we should try to be ready for that encounter. Lord, in these weeks of Advent, in these weeks of preparation, we ask that you guide our steps. Help us to be ready.